And we have on the line with us this morning Senator Chris Dush, bringing some clarity into what you might see on your primary election ballot this upcoming May 18th primary elections. And we have some additional ballot measures that you'll see. We're going to be hearing from Chris about what those measures actually mean whenever you vote on them. So could you maybe identify what these mean and maybe in your opinion, why they might be a little problematic?
Well, the wording that the Department of State put out makes it problematic or sound problematic, but quite honestly, they are very simple. First of all, I want to let everybody know that the people who are registered as independents or third parties, they can vote on these issues. So I would encourage them to come out and vote for them. The bills or the two amendments that deal with the emergency declaration, one of those, it makes it so that the legislature can come back and terminate an emergency declaration if a governor abuses his authority. We had done that in a bipartisan manner. We sent it, we had done the amendment to terminate the declaration because the governor refused to come to talk with the legislature. And like I said, it was bipartisan when it passed. He wasn't communicating with us at all, and we wanted to try and get him there. Unfortunately, what happened was the Supreme Court ruled that under our Constitution, and they ruled correctly on this, that if we do a joint resolution that has the force of law, unless it's one of the enumerated times in the Constitution that we're allowed to do it, we can't do it. Well, when they wrote the law in 1977, they wrote it in such a way that the legislature could do it, but the statute doesn't trump the Constitution. And what we're trying to do is fix that. For over 185 years, no governor had the type of authority that Governor Wolf has been unilaterally using here in the Commonwealth. When you have that kind of situation where you've got the type of bipartisan support that we had, Republicans and Democrats, to terminate that, we need to be able to correct the problem. The Supreme Court should have ruled that that law in the whole was unconstitutional under the normal rules of procedures. If there's no severability clause in there, then they should have struck the whole law, but they failed to do that. So anyway, what this does simply is that if we have a governor who's gone too far, then the legislature, who are the closest to the people and who are getting the most direct impact and the most direct conversations with the people and how these actions are affecting them and their lives and livelihoods, then we would have the ability to terminate that. As I said, no governor for over 185 years ever had that, and for over 200 years, none have ever tried to wield that kind of power. The amendment, that's actually the second amendment on that proposal. The first one would provide that when the governor gets the authority to declare the emergency declaration, it can only last for 21 days unless it's extended in whole or in part by the General Assembly. The governors need to react quickly, but then they need to start after 21 days. 3 weeks is plenty of time to get some kind of a handle on that. From my military experience and others, 21 days is plenty of time for an executive branch to get some kind of a hold on it. And then during that 21 days, he should be reaching out to the people who are out in the communities, namely the legislature, and find out what the real deal is on how that this emergency is playing out. So if the governor doesn't get authority from the legislature after 21 days to continue down the path that he's on, then the declaration gets terminated automatically, and then he's not allowed to bring it back. This will, like I said, it's all about negotiations and having talks. So and it's a form of checks and balances that our Constitution had put in place, but unfortunately in 1977 we kind of tipped the scales a little bit. Then the last amendment would be to recognize that no one in Pennsylvania can be discriminated on the base of race or ethnicity. This is already in the U.S. Constitution. We're just bringing our state constitution alongside the U.S. Constitution in recognition of those two facts.
All right. So thank you so much for bringing some clarity to those ballot measures and making sure that people are aware of what they'll see whenever they vote in the primary election, and then also the fact that unlike the other parts of that ballot, those ones can be done as well if you're registered as independent.
Yes, that's very important. I truly want to see everyone out to vote. Every single vote is important. Our school boards, on up to people that are entrusted with positions like the one that I have, they're all equally important because what we do is affecting the lives and livelihoods of people in our communities. And it's important that if you're going to delegate that kind of power like we do in our Constitution to certain bodies, then they are people that you know and trust.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I'm just grateful to everybody for the honor to be able to serve in this position, and I hope to serve them well. And if they have any questions on any state-related issues, my number around here is 814-646-7272. I've got a great team willing and able to help.
Excellent. Thank you so much for making some time for us this morning.
Oh, thank you for the time.
Senator Chris Dush explaining those ballot measures.